We are all the time surrounded by God's glory. And it is remarkable how blind man can be to God's glory. Even we as Christians can be blinded to God's glory because we have a mindset as to what we think is God's glory. But we have to learn from the scriptures how God glorifies his name and the glory of God himself. And he opens up, which I've shared many times in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. He doesn't say any more, doesn't have to, because as the word of God is going to be written through the centuries, the glory of God will be taught. So he doesn't just try to describe himself. He says, in the beginning, God. And then he begins to create. What is all creation for? It is revealing the glory of God. He didn't have to create. He chose to do it. But I want us to see something that Jesus prayed in his priestly prayer before ascending to heaven, going to the cross. And we turn to John 17 and verses 1 to 7. And here we see in his prayer before God, he starts off with this. He says, Jesus spoke these words and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. We note in that first verse, he doesn't bow his head. He doesn't look to the ground. He looks up. An indication of God's glory. The same with us. We have to look up. We have to open our eyes. Our eyes have to be opened by the mercy of God to see what? God's glory. And it goes on, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. There he is pronouncing his deity. God in flesh. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So there is the true sign of a saint who is eternally called of God. We keep his word. We dare not leave it or deviate from it. We keep it before our eyes day and night. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. So there we are. That is Jesus' mission. He has accomplished what God sent him to do. And he says quite clearly, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. And that is why Christ come, revealing the Father, revealing the heart of the Father, his glory. And he says, by me coming, they now see you. What was Jesus doing here? It was about the Father's glory. He is determined to glorify his Father's name. And he is the image, the mirror of the Father's glory. The same as you have been saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God to reveal the glory of the Father through Jesus Christ. This is why we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Lord's Prayer. You too are now an example of revealing God's glory. Don't go by feelings. Don't go by circumstances. It's what the Word of God says. And all he wants of us is to make ourselves available. Here am I, use me, Lord, for your glory, that this world may see. And this is how he does it. It's interesting what he says here as well, that God's glory is seen before the created world and mankind. So God's glory has always existed. There never was a time when it was not. We know in our theology teaching that God is uncreated, eternal spirit, always has been, always will be, never a time when he was not. Now we have to grasp those concepts. They are very difficult for us to understand, and that's why we have to receive many of these things by faith, because we're limited to time. God created time, this world, for man, but God is outside of it. Even our time, our days, our moments, our seconds that are ticking away are all created by God for his glory. And that's why before creation, God was glorious in himself and his manifestations. And it's interesting that the glory and manifestations of God is in the Godhead, as Jesus reveals here in these seven verses of John 17. God's creation of the heavens and the earth is an extension of his existence, his eternal glory. So if you like, the source of glory is God himself. And everything that is seen, created by God, because God is the only one who can create out of nothing. Satan can't do that. Satan has to use what God has created in which to trick, deceive us. Remember that. Only God can create out of his existing glory. He doesn't even have to glorify himself. He is glory. The same as God doesn't have to try to love. He is love. With regard to us, we have to be trained. We have to be worked upon. We have to be made new. God doesn't. He's complete in himself. Doesn't have to ask anything or anyone for advice or whatever it would be. Everything is perfect. When we look at the glory of God, we are looking at absolute perfections. No blemish, no lie, no darkness. He is complete, pure, holy light. And that is why Jesus Christ, our mediator, has to protect us from the light of the Father, which otherwise would burn us up. We wouldn't exist. That is what we're dealing with. Now, what is the Bible's understanding of the meaning of God's glory? Well, his glory is perceived by revelation. Obviously, when we are saved, God has to open our minds, our understandings, to the revelation of God's glory. And that's why Jesus, in many ways, mirrored. That he said, when he said to the disciples, when you see me, you see the Father. I'm reflecting, I'm a mirror, and I'm one with him. We cannot be separated, even though I'm in the flesh, unlike all other religions. And we likewise, as overcomers, we mirror the reflection of God's glory through Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that the word glory means in Hebrew, it means something that is weighty. It's heavy. Weighty and heavy. You can't, in many ways, pick this up. You would crush, collapse under the weight. That's the Hebrew understanding of glory, the glory of God. It's interesting, in the Greek interprets this as honor, a reputation, a fame. And this, of course, speaks whether to man or to God. It speaks of one who is great, important, weighty, deserving. So from these two understandings of Hebrew and Greek, we get the understanding that God is glorious because of his perfections. It's his perfections that gives us understanding of his glory. That is why I said at the beginning, it opens up, in the beginning, God doesn't have to explain himself. He isn't going to, because the revelation of God's glory is going to reveal him and teach us. And that's why the word of God that we read is revelation to us, unlike any other book. This book is revelation, and it requires the Holy Spirit to teach you, and anointed men who are called of God to help to interpret this revelation, which they too should be speaking by. That's how God meant us to learn and to understand. That's why he doesn't explain himself. He simply says, I'm God. How can he? Because the rest of it, his glory, is going to reveal himself, is going to teach us, and so on. Well, having looked at that then, God's glory, firstly, it's impossible to see God, but we can see examples of his glory, which I've already in many ways been talking about. And so the word of God begins to bring our attention, focus, to God's glory. And of course we know Psalm 19, we know this very well. But let's turn to it. Because here it reveals the perfections of God's revelation. In Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Well, it immediately opens up. What does it do? It takes our eyes away from the earth, and it points, takes our eyes upwards to the heavens. Just what Jesus was doing when he prayed his prayer in John 17. And what do you see when you look up into the heavens, into the clouds, the blue skies? And we can see beyond that now through telescopes that show us the myriads of stars and galaxies. Why? We can't even interpret. We think we can. Scientists think they can. But you run out of words when you begin to look up into the sky, into the heavens. And all you can say is, what is man that thou art mindful of thee? Because that's all you can say. You're completely lost in wonder. What mind was behind all of this? And even God exists outside of what I'm seeing. That is his creation for his glory. And so he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. So we now come down from the sky and we look to the firmaments, the land, the earth, the seas. Huge. Some of the seas, we don't know the depths, how deep they go, even now. And it's his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. So what are we doing? We're talking about it right now. It's uttering speech. It's giving us knowledge as we're studying God's glory. And this is what the psalmist says. You're never going to stop talking about this. Science will never stop learning about this. And this is just his creation. So what are we destined for, brothers and sisters, when we go into glory, into heaven with God? We're never ever going to stop learning about God's glory. And we're going to see God's glory to a greater depth. We won't be seeing it through a mirror, through a misty glass like we're doing at the moment. It will all be revealed. And it will be an eternal revelation that never stops, never ends. There is no speech nor language. I'm finding it very difficult to find words to express this. Where their voice is not heard, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like the bridegroom that comes out of his chamber and rejoices like strong man to run its race. You can only run a race in light, in sun. You can't run a race at night when it's dark. It's resting from one end of heaven and the circuit of the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. So we need that heat in which life can evolve and grow. And then it goes on about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting a soul. So there we are. This again is revealing God's creation for his glory. Another thing to think about, he can reveal his glory in manifestations. For example, he revealed his glory in fire. When an offering was placed upon the altar, the fire would come down and consume it upon the altar. We know that Elijah, who came against the prophets of Baal, his offering was consumed by fire, exposing the darkness, the corruption. It always takes the fire of God in which to judge. And he does, and he will again in these last days. He reveals himself in a cloud. How about Jesus' transfiguration on the mount? Elijah was caught up into the clouds like a chariot. His glory is seen through Jesus Christ himself. We opened up with that and revealed that in John 17. But what does he say in John chapter 1? Because John has much about this revealing Jesus Christ, his glory, his deity. And remember, John was the closest one to Jesus. What does it say in John chapter 1 and verse 14? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is where I said at the beginning, we have to be taught about God's glory, because the world, religion, has a perverted understanding of God's glory. And we see the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Word, the Word of God that we read and hear and have taught to us, reveals the glory of God. And that's why we keep coming, because we want to experience more of God and his glory. We're told that God's people will behold the glory at the end. Let's go back to John 17. This priestly prayer that Jesus prays, John 17. And verse 24. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me before you loved me, before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ came to reveal the glory of the Father. And he had to redeem us and forgive us of our sin and rebellion that cut us off from the revelation of God's glory. This is why it was so tragic when Adam and Eve fell. They immediately fell from the glory of God. They no longer could see like they were seeing or hear like they were hearing. The plan of God's redemption is miraculous, how he is bringing us back through the second Adam as though we hadn't sinned. It's a miracle. And so God's people are going to behold his glory. His saints will be glorified. As it says in Romans, chapter 8, verses 17 to 13. 17 to 30 of Romans 8. These are those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We take it up from verse 13. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Why is it going to be revealed in us? Because it's all about God's glory. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So everything is eagerly waiting to be released, to see the glory of God, to bring Christ upon this earth, to set his government and righteousness. It's all groaning. Creation is groaning. This is why we're in the last days. Listen to the groanings of the people in your family. The world is groaning. We hear it all the time. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. That is our overcoming. A lot of our overcoming, our trials, our tests that we put off this earthly house and put on the new. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, as I've just said. That's why we're pressing in. This is what overcomers do. We're pressing in to be changed into his likeness. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that's why we preach faith. We eagerly wait for the manifestations, not only in this life, but what is to come eternally. For our faith is an eternal principle. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Praise God, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's why we don't see and act like the world. We see from a greater level spiritually. We get our discernment through the Holy Spirit, through the intercessions. And he goes on, verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions with the saints according to the will of God. That is where you get your discernment, is through the will of God, through Christ, the mediator, who intercedes and supplicates on our behalf. That is where we get it from. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When you receive and understand the intercessions of Christ through your prayers, you then begin to understand this is all working together for good. For God has a bigger picture and plan in all of this, through the trials and through the tests. What for? For his glory. My trials that I go through are for his glory. Even my weaknesses, my fallings are for his glory. But verse 27 has to be in operation, because the Spirit is making intercessions through me, giving me understanding, revelation, insight to the Word of God, what he's doing with my life and with everything else. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Brothers and sisters, you have to be called. And the only way you know if you are called, by your response to the Word of God, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You're staying with it. You're enduring to the end. That's why I say, keep coming, keep listening. It is in the Word. Your answers, everything you are going through is in the Word of God for you. but make sure that your prayers and intercessions are one with Jesus Christ. That is important. And sometimes we have to find out on those things. And that's why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that is why you speak in the Spirit for that purpose. Verses 26 and 27. That is one of the reasons also why we're empowered by the Spirit to speak in tongues and languages. Also for our prayer, our intercession. As I've said many times, I'm praying about 85-90% in the Spirit and 10% in the understanding. And I don't try and work that out. That is how the Holy Spirit works and leads with me, you see. Because the Spirit is making intercessions. And I join with him in intercession. And what does the Bible say? If two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. So there's power when you are agreeing with our great intercessor, Jesus, and not fighting against his will. Because I don't like it, or I don't like what I see or hear. As God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He's completely opposite to us. That's why we need to be made one in our prayers and intercessions. Because that is revelation God is giving to me. That is God's mind he's giving to me. And when you know that, then you can rest by faith in peace. And not find your mind is under battle all the time and doubt. Brothers and sisters, God is giving something away here today. This is coming by the Spirit, by revelation. Now you have to listen, because this is helping you to overcome those things that go on in the mind, those doubts, unbelief that the enemy tries to work. If we grasp this, this is closing doors to the mind. Because I am one with Christ in my prayers and intercessions. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this is powerful. And this is why the devil doesn't want us praying like this. Because this is where he's destroyed. This is where he's exposed. This is where we're given authority over demonic powers, powers, principalities, dominions, Ephesians 6. This is where it lies. Because you are getting this from the Holy Spirit, the great intercessor who sees all things. He sees what the enemy is doing. But he wants you to see that. And he wants you in agreement with him. It's no good going into warfare and start binding if you are not in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And many, I've heard, are not always one with him. It's coming out of their own imagination, their own discernment. It's coming out of a heart of unbelief, the flesh. And that's why it goes no higher than the ceiling. But when you begin to understand that God reveals this to me, that I'm in prayer agreeing with my intercessor, my Saviour, wow, that is power. And that is what moves heaven and earth. That's how the saints prayed. They became one with him. And we're always going on about that. You see, for the purpose of glorifying his name. That is why, and it is so powerful. It's all for the purpose of glorifying his name. Hallelujah. Let's turn to a few more scriptures as we bring this to a conclusion. 1 John 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, verse and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And there we are. It's all about for the glory of God. And his glory is seen through works and miracles, which God has empowered you to be able to do for his glory. As we see back in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servant who had drawn the water knew the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out a good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, you have kept the good wine until now." This is the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. There we are. So it wasn't only just wine, it was the best wine. And that's why they called Jesus a wine bibber. You see? Jesus is coming right across religion, these Pharisaical mindsets. Of course Christians can drink a glass of wine, but we're not to get drunk on it. And we're to know whether we control wine or wine controls us. And if it controls you, you've got a problem. My advice is don't touch it. That's how God presents it, until you get delivered. But whom the Son sets free, we are free indeed. All for the glory of God. But there was the signs, starting there at the wedding of Cana, turning the water into wine. And it was the best wine. So everything that God does is of the best. And that's why we do not take substitutes. The devil will get us to take a substitute. Refuse it. Always go for the best. If you cannot get that from your Heavenly Father, you will not get it from anywhere else. Why? Because we're talking about God's glory. Hallelujah.